Would you pray with me? Father God, would you guide the meditations of our hearts and the thoughts of our minds, that they be pleasing in your sight, that they be transforming in our lives and live throughout our week. In your name we pray. Amen. For many, many years, there was a wildly popular television show that aimed to shine a light on people and their work. Each week, the host would travel to a new location, meeting people, and exploring their daily grind. The common theme amongst the jobs was supposed to be the dirt, as the show was Dirty Jobs. Mike Rowe worked his way around the country for 8 seasons, most of the time finding grimy jobs to showcase. And for anyone who watched the show, there was another obvious truth. Although many of the jobs were indeed grimy, much and many of the jobs were also a bit taxing on the person's spirit. These dirty jobs required perseverance. And this did not diminish the show, even in the slightest, for Mike Rowe loved to showcase this hard work and the people doing their hard work. We enjoy watching Mike Rowe in the variety of uncomfortable work, but the other common thread on the show was smiles, for Mike loved to smile and bring out smiles in the people he was apprenticing under. Smiles abound in the joy derived from doing the work and doing that good work of God. The dirt, though, sometimes can hide itself in plain sight. Turning to a biblical text, in Matthew 12, we find that Christ has healed a man born with both blindness and muteness. The Pharisees accuse Jesus of being the prince of demons, Beelzebul. What a nasty accusation. And in response, we do not see Jesus run or retreat or move to the temple to make sacrifices and prove his holiness. No, Jesus stays and rebukes. Jesus tries a soft rebuke at first about demons and how this is absurd. However, in Matthew 12, we find him almost frustrated. The Pharisees request a sign from Matthew 12, 38 to 42. And then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of a huge fish, the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here." These are Pharisees Jesus is talking to, right? These are the guys who don't question heaven, who know what holiness is, who know what it is to be clean and unclean. But they question what needs to be clean and are so quick to just sling mud at anything that is out of place or out of line. When the Pharisees happen upon something that should be a joyful experience, the man is no longer mute, the man is no longer blind. We're privileged to look at the story and see something mucking up the gears. We expect to see a celebration. A man has been healed, demons have been driven out, and wah, wah, we get a dialogue about the prince of demons and about a wicked generation. In John's account of healing a man born blind, we see the grime in full display. In John 9, as he went along, he saw a man born blind from birth, and his disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Even his own disciples are looking to find out where the dirt is. Who's got the dirt? This guy, his parents, who's got the dessert? What dirt, what needs cleaned? And Jesus rebukes, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. And as long as it is day, we might do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And after saying this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud into saliva, for Jesus knows what real dirt actually is and what its good use is for. He puts it under the man's eyes and says, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went, washed, and came home seeing. John 9 goes into detail after this that the Pharisees, again, just completely missed the point. They go and first interview the man's parents and then interview the man and then throw him out of court, claiming him to be a blasphemer. There should be a celebration. Wah, wah. These Pharisees have blurred the line between activity under command and inventing of new commands. We see it in many of Jesus' rebukes. Jeff, last week, finished his sermon on patience with a wonderful quote from G.C. Morgan. It enchanted me so much, I went and looked up the short sermon itself. I highly encourage anyone to look it up. But I'll requote G.C. Morgan through Jeff here. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God first means activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. The character of God is on full display in these stories. The people are waiting to see. The Pharisees are hoping to see something that's going to pull them out from this Roman occupation. And the people are wanting to see a healing. They at least know where the power is. Jesus does not move away from the man, the crowd, or the Pharisees, for he knows the work that he has to do, the dirty work. This is the activity under command, for he knows he has the command of God to show these people who he is, even as he tries to tell them, "Don't tell anyone else who I am yet. It's not my time." But we see sometimes activities come out of impatience, and even good things work out of those. When a man is lowered through the ceiling, we see activities out of impatience, activities that come out of impulse and not from the deeper self-control of God. We mourn some of these activities we see in ourselves, sometimes individually, and sometimes these activities we find in community. It can be just as devastating. So what we must seek to do is to wait until we know the activity under command, and wait until the order is given. Activity that God does in his time. Jesus had another warning for the Pharisees. Actually, on the back end of that Matthew 12 story, because he knows their hearts, he continues. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. The final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it could be with this wicked generation. Jesus knows what is against them. Jesus knows they will be way too focused on cleaning. They will fail to clean up their own pride. That whatever they are able to drive out might come back sevenfold. Jesus has compassion on them, sees their desire to be a celebrity, sees their pride, and still tries to stay, still tries to rebuke them, still tries to engage in the dirty work. They think they are clean, and they see him as a dirty demon. He, the cleanest one, sees them for how dirty they are. And when they are repulsed when they should be attracted, he is attracted when he should be repulsed. He comes to us in grace, grace that sees through lots of dirt. One of our ministries is to Kane Hospital. And hospitals are notoriously clean, but we gravitate there for the people, regardless of what dirt they may have. If it's dirt, hopefully not on the outside for the state of the hospital, but the dirt in us and the dirt in them. The dirt that God likes to knock off when we run together. In building a new building, we've asked our architect to see some beauty in the dirt. And we are also blessed right now in the process that whenever we are holding together, whatever messiness might come out in our discussions about the building, we hold hands and sing for the good goals that are guided by the hands of God. There is a long lesson here on the patience and timing. Because Lord knows the process of building a new building is not a quick process. But we know God already has that in mind. We know his power there. For we see Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, when they go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, they're blessed with their patience of a day that they get to be the first ones to see him rise on the Sabbath, on that Easter morning. And we know that Jesus does not shy away from the work that took him 33 years. He kneels in the garden, down in the dirt, knowing that this is not the thing that will make him dirty. And we see Jesus even in his workshop. Tradition holds that Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus knows what it's like to do a dirty job. Even when that dirty job, tradition also holds, was serving to build temples about 30 miles east of where his workshop was. I don't know what the dirtiest job in the Bible is, but I have one that I would put before you. It's David and his dancing. From 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the covenant with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. This is David's big redemption. We covered this in Bible study if you want to go listen to it online. The Israelites had placed the Ark of the Covenant on a poop cart, a cart for transporting manure. That is why the ark had stopped at Obed-Edom, is because God had struck someone dead for not realizing how dirty they were treating him. But David now, getting word, getting aim, and having the work that is commanded to do, dances with all his might. He knows that the dirt of dancing on the dirty road from Obed-Edom to Jerusalem is not the dirt he needs to care about, for he's found the thing he cares most about, the seed of Elohim, the seed of Yahweh. There is beauty in that dirt as he dances in humility. This is the beauty that God sees in us. One of my favorite examples from pop culture is Pigpen. Pop culture there. Still a staple, just not my pop culture. Pigpen, though, is always dirty, if you've ever read Charlie Brown. And everyone criticizes him for his dirt. He's not always dirty. Sometimes a rain shower comes and he's still dirty. Sometimes a rain shower hits him and the dirt washes away, if only for a minute. He's able to shower in his house, and as soon as he gets to the threshold of his door, the dirt clings right back to him. It just never leaves him alone. But Peppermint Patty, and Peppermint Patty alone, sees him for the pure spirit he is, kisses him on the cheek from time to time, and sees right through his dirt. So we must pray for eyes like Peppermint Patty. From Ephesians 1:15-19. "For this reason, ever since I have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." When you pray, remember how powerful words are. Ask him, out loud, or in your heart in quiet, but if you need to, go into your room, close the door, and speak to him out loud. Ask to see what he sees. Ask for his patience to see his love, that he is good and that he is good enough. Do you want to be clean? He will make you white as snow. Do you want to be sanctified? He will work in you and throughout you, for he has never run from the dirt. Praise be to God. Amen.